Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome BTech Smith and Steve Metz.
BTech Smith and Steve Metz,
you are now entering the Megacast.
The Megacast.
What is going on, BTech Smith?
Oh, what up, Steve?
Not much, just broadcasting live. Or pretend it's live. It's live to us.
We're taping it live. We are doing it.
In a live studio audience in our brand new mega studios.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Yet another studio. I don't know. Is it working? Is it not working?
You know, it seems bare bones, but
it's
everything you need. It's a couple microphones, some speakers, a board, and a recording apparatus.
Yeah,
that's and all I can you need.
See you.
I know. I like
it. You don't
this.
Have to like reach around.
Like we could touch each other right now.
Let's do it, Steve. Oh.
Oh, are we doing? What are we doing? Are we fingering or are we fisting?
I thought we were going to handhold.
That doesn't sound right.
All right, I guess we're fisting.
We're fisting. We just fisted.
Let's finger touch, too.
Let's finger each other.
Yes. E.T.
That could be the new mega hug. We E.T. everybody.
Dude, that's not a bad call.
Dude, that would be weird.
E.T. Like in people?
Like if...
We got to send a picture out.
And we got to go... All right, that's our new thing. That's the mega handshake. The mega E.T. finger.
The mega finger.
You want to
give him the mega finger.
Give him the mega finger.
I mean, ideally, we'd be somewhere on stage and just fingering people as we like walk by. E.T.ing them. Are we calling it fingering them or E.T.? We should probably call it E.T.ing them.
Or do we call it the mega finger?
The mega finger. I'm going to give you all the mega finger.
Yeah, it's great. Like, where were we the other day? Oh, we were at the Belltown block party.
Oh, yeah.
Some dude came up to me and goes, I need the other half of the mega hug. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize that we could do it that way. I never really figured that we could individually give hugs, but together it becomes a mega hug.
I mean, I think that guy just branched out on his own and made that up.
He did, and yeah. I respect that. But now we have a whole new thing. Mega family, you want to get fingered by Ted and Steve?
Get in there. We don't have Reese's Pieces, but we got the fingers.
Did you hear? I just read something. Oddly enough, I have information and a tidbit of info about E.T. and
okay.
Reese's Pieces.
All right.
Or Pieces. Pieces or Pieces?
Reese's? I think it's Reese's Pieces.
Yes.
I always say Pieces for some reason. Reese's Pieces.
Reese's Pieces. And you're the finger on the Reese's Pieces.
Holla.
That Reese's Pieces was not the first choice for E.T. It was M&M's.
But they couldn't get M&M's?
M&M's said no.
Oh, really?
Isn't that funny?
Well, I mean, look. In the grand scheme of things, I think M&M's still winning that battle.
Yeah, they're still doing fine. But you would think, how much more fine could they be? They'd be mega fine.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe when that movie came out, have you ever been at the store and been like, M&M's or Reese's Pieces? Well, E.T. eats these. I'll eat them.
I'd rather Reese's Pieces over M&M's any day of the week.
Really?
Any day of the week. The fact that M&M's now have a peanut butter option helps their cause. But up until then, 100% of the time I would have went with Reese's Pieces. Now, 99% of the time.
Oh, I'm M&M's every day of the week.
What kind of M&M's do you go? Are you OG? Are you peanut? Are you what?
I like regular plain. Uh-huh. And then for a while, they had like the pretzel ones.
Pretzel ones are dope.
The pretzel ones are great.
Yeah.
I mean, the hardest ones to find are the ones with the almonds in them.
I don't know if I ever had one with the almonds.
It's a highfalutin M&M, Steve.
You can only get those at like the Fairmont Hotel.
Yeah, yeah.
On your bed. Four of them. I'm just right by the pillow.
I only break that out around Christmas. Yeah. I can't be just handing out almond M&Ms all the time. What, am I made of money?
No, you're not. They don't pay us enough here to start springing for the almond M&Ms.
No,
what
man.
About cashew M&Ms? Do they got that? Or macadamia nut M&Ms?
I don't think they do, but I like where your head's at. Because a chocolate-covered cashew is a delicious treat.
It's so good.
Yeah.
All right. Things got weird. But yeah, if you want a mega finger... Let us know, especially you ladies. We'll mega finger you all day and all night long.
After the new original set at Red Festival.
That's right.
September 9th.
September 9th at the Enum Claw Expo.
We should just walk on front of the stage and start handing out mega fingers.
Yep, just fingering everybody in the front row.
Yeah, you want a finger? You get a finger.
You got it. You get a finger. You get a finger.
Can we two hand fingers?
Oh, hell yeah. It's good to see you, man. We had a weekend where we hung out, which was awesome.
We did.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. We'll maybe talk a little bit about the eclipse. I've also got an update on my endeavor to bring to bless this world with a child.
All right.
It's not anything huge, but I have an update.
All right.
So we'll talk about that. But first, we got to get our push-ups in. I almost called you BJ.
I know, man. What's up with that?
Man, it's almost
muscle
like
muscle memory. You don't have to explain.
I was about to say, it's almost like I do a show with the guy for 4 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Right. I was about to give you a hard time. They're like, wait a minute. Right. You do this once a week for 40 minutes. Like,
yes.
That's fair.
Sometimes 30. Depends on how spirited Ted and I get before we turn the microphones on.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, let's get our push-ups in to get the heart racing, the blood pumping, and the brain
functioning.
Today, a brand new song was just released by the Foo Fighters.
Oh, no kidding.
And it's freaking awesome.
All right.
I don't know if it's necessarily the best tempo for push-ups, but I'm feeling a little lethargic, so maybe it is the right one for us.
All right, 10 slow ones.
It's a brand new song, and it's called Sky is a Neighborhood. That's the name of it. Sky is a Neighborhood.
Sky is a Neighborhood?
Sky is a Neighborhood.
All right.
New album's going to be called Concrete and Gold, out next month.
Nice.
Right when Red Fest is out.
Awesome.
Or Red Festival. I don't want to yell
Festival.
That. Sorry.
Come on, Steve.
My bad. All right, let's get 10, Mega Family.
I don't think anybody walked by today.
Nope. I didn't see anybody walk by.
No Brad Evans, nothing.
That was funny that Brad Evans walked by from the Sounders last week.
Yeah.
Ice Cube seen us do 10. Sir Mix-a-Lot.
A lot of people seen us do push-ups, Steve.
I wonder what they're thinking when they see two guys do push-ups on a radio station.
I mean, I think it depends. If the mics are on, maybe it seems odder. If they're off, maybe they're just like, look at these guys, just getting some in.
TED Talks, starring D-Tech Smith.
Today's TED Talk is not always, this one isn't the most uplifting one.
Uh-oh.
But it's just a truthful one. I found myself in a conversation like a week ago, just talking about, just talking about health and fitness or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, a buddy said to me, he's like, how's your workouts been the last month? And I just said, Essie. And he was like, what do you mean? I was like, well, I could sit here and lie to you, but I haven't been very good about it in the last month. You know, like it's been terrible. You know, so I just...
What makes them terrible? You're not going?
Yeah, I just haven't... I was good till about, like, July. And then,
not going makes a workout pretty crappy, yeah.
And then, right, like, I don't know. July, I was just like, oh, screw it. I'll take the month off. So I'm just saying, like, sometimes you just got to be responsible.
Uh-huh.
So now I know it's up to me to kickstart it and get it going back again. But sometimes, too, like, it just, you know, it was a buddy. It would have been so easy just to give him BS excuse and this and that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, the only responsibility's on me.
Well, I bet he appreciated the fact that you gave him an honest answer, because then you can actually have a conversation and not just have completely small talk that's just on the surface and that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. So I think sometimes, like, that's just an example of where I had to do it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for everybody else, like, just sometimes, like, trust me, it might not be the fun answer or whatever, but you just got to take responsibility and, you know, be honest with yourself.
It's funny, though, what I liked about that, and it's a little bit of a sidetrack of all what you're saying, but, I recently started listening to, I listen to so many wrestling podcasts, it's ridiculous. And sometimes I'll give up on one for a little bit because it just got stale for me, and now I'll move on to another one. So right now I'm really geeking out about Edge and Christian.
They do
a podcast together, and it's awesome. It's like the podcast of awesomeness or something like that, which is why it's awesome. Let me see what the name of it is.
Didn't they used to wrestle together?
Yeah, Edge and Christian were a tag team. They came up together. They're both Canadian dudes. They came up the chain together, and then... you know, they both ended up then doing some single stuff. Both had very good careers. Obviously, Edge had an incredible career, Hall of Fame career. But they've been friends forever. They did a show on the WWE Network as well together. And their current podcast is called Edge and Christian's Pod of Awesomeness.
All right.
And I'm listening to this week's episode where they're talking to Daniel Bryan. And Daniel Bryan brought up a really good point. He's like, you know, wrestlers, when we all travel so much together, he's like, I find a lot of them very interesting and they're good people. But when you travel together so much, you kind of take each other for granted and you start just having really boring conversations with each other. And I was like, wow, I never thought about that. Like,
yeah,
that sometimes familiarity breeds laziness in a sense. And so you just keep having the same, like, hey, what'd you do today? You know, I just worked out and spray tanned. All right, well, cool. That's it. You know, but he said one of the guys that he loved, and it's funny, speaking of the Ted Smith, one of the guys he loves hanging out with and traveling with is the Brian Kendrick.
All right.
And Brian Kendrick is like a conspiracy theorist. He's always reading things. He genuinely believes that Brian Kendrick is throwing things out there just to get a reaction out of people. But he says he loves it because you're always on your toes with Brian Kendrick. You're always going to have a weird, deep, out there conversation, whereas other guys, even though you love them and you know they're interesting guys, but you've gotten into a rut with each other. So
you're just having the same BS conversation every day.
So that's why I think your buddy, when you said, hey, how's it going? And you're like, it's not going good.
Yeah, that's what's just like, it would have been easy to lie to him, but then like, for what? Because at the end, I wouldn't have been lying to myself.
Because I remember like when I was working on another station, and the way our offices were all set up back, we have offices.
and desks.
And desks and, you know, doors. Guy would always walk by. He was a morning guy on a sister station. Well, competing too, I guess. We're all competition. And every time he would walk by, he'd be like, hey, man, how's it going? And before you could even say, how's it going, he's already down, probably six offices down, saying the same thing to the next person.
All right.
Like, he's trying to be the guy that's saying hi to everyone, probably because he watched some TED Talk or different TED Talk.
About saying hello?
Yeah, or read some book about leadership, and it's like, you know, you need to say hi to everybody. You need to make time for people. And in his head, he's thinking, well, I'll just say, how's it going? Fully anticipating it's just going to be the stock answer of good.
Yeah.
So, after a while, I started picking up on it. I'm like, wait a minute, this guy is constantly not even giving me the opportunity to say, how's it going? So then I would just start throwing out random things. He'd walk by, be like, hey, man, how's it going? Oh, man, not good. Grandma died. Nowhere to be found.
Did he never reacted?
Never. Never once.
Seriously?
And I wouldn't do it every time, but like once every week, week and a half. Hey, man, how's it going? Oh, man, my dog got hit by a car. Nothing.
Yeah, because I mean, like,
sometimes he's so caught up in himself. He didn't even, before I even said started the first word, he was probably already three doors down. Kryptonite. Sorry.
Yeah, and I get, that's pretty funny. I get it. Like, sometimes I walk by people and just say what's up, and they just kind of say what's up, and that's a quick one. But I've definitely walked by and said what's up to somebody, and they start talking, and I got to, like, stop and be like, oh, all right.
Oh, crap, this person really is going to tell me something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it just seems like a normal human reaction. I can't believe you're saying stuff, and he just kept cruising.
Awful, man. Got gonorrhea. And then it became a joke in our office, you know, with the rest of the morning crew. I would say something, and we would just wait. Is he going to turn around? Is he going to turn? Never. And we would just die. It was so fun.
Well, now I kind of want to know who it was.
Oh, I'll turn the mic off. Ready?
Yeah. That seems about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little man with a big voice. All right. what do you want to do? You want to talk about my trip to the collection room, or do we want to talk a little bit about our adventures at the Belltown Block Party?
Let's talk about the collection room first,
all right,
Steve.
All right.
People want to know about you putting your seed into cups.
Well, dude, first of all, maybe I should get involved with Fox Television.
All right.
Did you hear about this is perfect for TV time with Ted in the men's room. They're developing a show where women look for a sperm donor.
Dude, I did not read that yet.
Yeah, it's a reality show. I mean, it makes sense. We've done everything else. Why not have Who Wants to Be the Sperm Donor?
Who Wants to Be the Daddy?
Yeah. It's a new show called, they're way more clever than us, Labor of Love.
All right.
That's a really well done title.
Yeah.
It's going to follow professional women in their 30s and 40s who decide it's time to have a baby.
Ooh.
But I don't have a daddy or a donor. So they have a choice between, this is interesting. They'll have a choice between giving love and commitment one last shot or finding themselves a sperm donor and going at it alone.
Ah, man, I don't know about this one.
No? You wouldn't watch it? I'd watch this.
I don't know.
I don't know if I'd watch the whole season, but I'd start watching.
But I think most people know politically kind of where I lean and where I stand.
Yes, you're a super conservative that wears a Make America Great hat all the time.
All the time.
Some people call him the Ted MAGA.
Right.
Sorry, no.
I always call it MAGA.
MAGA.
MAGA. I don't know. I guess I just, maybe it's old school that I still think of childbirth involving a couple people.
And love.
Yeah, and I mean, I get it if you're a gay couple and physically you can't have a baby, so you have like a surrogate. Like, I get that. It just seems weird to me that if like you're just completely single, and just like, all right, I'm going to have a baby.
And it's weird to make a decision with a host of a television show involved with it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like Chris Harrison or whoever it's going, Jeff Probst. I don't know who they're going. Jeff Probst would be a good one based on those pictures that were once leaked.
Jesus Christ.
He could be the donor for the entire cast.
Well, did you see like the dude on The Bachelor?
He's got a fire hose.
Like The Bachelor's all pissed at him now.
Why?
Because I guess the Bachelorette finale or whatever, he was like, I love you. I just don't know if I'm ready to get engaged yet. Which is
kind normal.
Of, right. But it's also using logic once you've already been on The Bachelorette. It's like at that point, I don't know. Like, can you really? Anyhow, he used logic.
That's
right?
Like no backseas at that point.
Right. So then the girl's like, well, I guess I'll take the dude that wants to marry me. It's part of the show. So then generally that guy would become the next Bachelor, right?
Uh-huh.
But the people that run The Bachelor are like, well, he doesn't want to get married. We don't know if we can have him be The Bachelor. And they're like pissed at him.
Dude, when you signed the paper, you said you'd marry her. Whether or not you love her or like her, you got that last rose. You're marrying that bitch.
I mean, at the end, he probably said the most honest thing ever on The Bachelorette, which was like, I really do love you.
Right.
But we should wait to get married.
That's what most people feel and think when they start dating somebody. Like, yeah. You're a year into a relationship. You do love that person. You're just not sure if that's the person forever. Why is it so crazy? Why are the producers mad? But then again, it's...
But that's what I'm saying. And I hate to say this, but in their defense, he used logic at the end of being on The Bachelorette.
So anyways, the producer says, quote, it's a show about empowering women who can pursue a decision to have a child to help complete a lifelong dream. I'm shocked that Fox would go this low. I mean, let's not forget. I mean, these guys, you know, they had shows like Joe Millionaire and Who Wants to Marry a Multi-Millionaire and My Big Fat Obnoxious Fiancé.
That one was good.
Temptation Island. Do you remember Temptation Island?
A little bit.
I love Temptation Island. Yeah. Funny story about Temptation Island. I went on a date with one of the girls.
No kidding.
And actually still friends with one of the date. I mean, it was long story short. This is a funny story. Back when Temptation was on, we were talking about it on the morning show when I was on Andy Savage's show. And I would constantly rave about there was this one girl with pink hair. I was obsessed with her. I was like, she's so hot. And like she plays bass in a band. Like, you know, they give those little bios. And she's originally from Washington. I'm like, oh, my gosh. This girl's perfection. He tracks her down through probably calling the PR people, whatever it may be. The next morning, who's on the phone? That girl.
No kidding.
I was like, whoa. Okay. And it turns out she's living in L.A. She's an actress, which I thought was really weird that an actress was on a reality show to find love. But, I mean...
Yeah, that's strange, that's, Steve.
That's rare.
That is rare.
I mean...
That probably doesn't happen much.
I don't think you'd ever find another person that does that.
No.
Never.
No.
So anyways, long story short, I knew I was going to L.A. to go see Weezer. And I said, hey, would you like to go with me? And she's like, yes. So we met up and went to Weezer and hung out. Had a great time. Nothing ever came of it, like as if like a romance or anything like that. She didn't give me the rose or tempt me and anything along those lines.
But she went on a date with her.
Yeah, so we had a good time. Rocked out to Weezer. I looked like a stud. One of the greatest things. So we're in like, I forget how we got the tickets. I think through work, I had VIP bracelets. So we go into the little VIP area at the Hollywood Bowl, I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we're hanging out. All of a sudden, this guy jumps on the back of me and like, bear hugs me. And I'm like, who the hell is this? It's the lead singer of the band Lit.
Oh, no kidding.
Right. This is at the time where they're playing a lot. We were playing on the end. We interviewed him a whole bunch of times. Him
so
and
he
I
recognize you.
Him and I became like drinking buddies whenever they would come to town. We would hang out on the bus and just drink. They had a Jaeger machine. They had the colder and an ice machine. And we would just get hammered on the bus while the rest of the band's hanging out with whoever and doing whatever. And we would just swap stories. And, you know, he was just a good dude. I don't know if he'd remember me now. Maybe. I don't know. But so I look like a rock star now because, you know, arguably one of the bigger bands at the time. And he's hugging me and she's like, whoa, you know him? And then they went off and made out and it was very, no, I'm kidding. That would have been my luck. Like, wow, can you introduce me? Sure. And now they're together.
Sad story.
You know, why don't we take a quick break? Because we're up against the wall and we're only going to do one break. When we get back, we will talk about my experience at the collection room, our experience at the Belltown Block Party. We saw something rather interesting with Seattle's Finest.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty hilarious.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
When the Megacast returns. All right. Maybe. There we go. Ooh.
I'd like to be in the back seat with these guys. The Megacast is back. So baby, pull me closer in the back seat of your Rover that I
know you can't afford. Bite that tattoo on your shoulder. Pull the sheets right off the corner of the mattress that you stole from your roommate back in Boulder. We ain't ever getting older.
If you're heading off to college and thinking about starting a crappy band, the following are already taken crappy band names: Beer Pong and the Dirty Bong Waters, The Crusty Socks, Top Ramen, Crippling Debt, Hazed and Confused, Walk of Shame, Free Birth Control, Dorm Hub, Jimmy Eat Tacos, and Freshman 15. This has been a list of already taken crappy band names.
These guys like to get high and lost in paradise. The Megacast is back.
Oh, boy, I really screwed things up, didn't I?
Yeah, you did, Steve. It was horrible.
Sorry for those that thought we were coming back as soon as we went to a break. I must have played the wrong thing.
That's all right.
You know, it's because it's live. If it was a recorded thing, I could go back and edit it and make it sound right for people to hear. Unfortunately, we do not have that ability at a radio station.
I still just love that, like, the chain smokers catch so much grief. Like, I was like, I know I'm not supposed to, but I still like that song.
And I feel like I like them more and more as, like, when they all the Nickelback stuff happened with them, when they covered a Nickelback, because people saying they sound like Nickelback. They're like the Nickelback of EDM. And I guess just recently, they were one of the guys was a groomsman at a wedding.
All right.
And the wedding band started playing their song, Closer.
Yeah.
And he jumped up and started singing.
Nice.
But the other member of the band just sat there, which I was like, is he getting all butthurt? Does he not want to have fun?
Maybe he doesn't do the singing.
That's a good point.
He's just the
Or maybe he wasn't happy he wasn't one of the groomsmen. He's like, you know what? I'm not wearing a tux. I'm not going up there and sing.
Not you performing.
No, if you can't respect me enough to make me a groomsman, I'm not showing you that respect.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Piss off.
Piss off. Piss off.
We got that Burning Man song got me thinking. We got to remember to talk a little bit about that, too, when we talk about the Belltown Block Party.
All right. Oh, yeah, the Burning Man thing.
But my adventure and creating a child continues.
All right.
So it's been a roller coaster. I mean, honestly, there's an article. I ended up sending it to my wife because she was like, you know what? I get what she's talking about. You know, Casey from Q13 Fox. She's one of the morning anchors.
All right.
She used to be on Bob Rivers' show. Actually, I first met her was when I was working at CBS Radio on K-Rock. She was the overnight gal for Kiss 106.
Oh, no kidding.
Super nice. One of those people when you first walk in, you're like, oh, that's cool. Like, we're competition, but you're actually a human being and you're nice to me.
Yeah.
And I always had a lot of respect for her, and she's done obviously great things. She's now doing great things on Q13 Fox.
Yeah.
And she just recently wrote a blog and shared the news that she's pregnant.
All right.
And in the article, she wrote about the roller coaster that it's been for her and her husband, and it was a lot of parallels to, not 100% parallels, because I think they dealt with a miscarriage, and we haven't gotten to anything where we even could share that we're pregnant, you know? I mean,
right.
But they've gone through the beauty of science to try and make a baby, and there's been a lot of moments of highs and moments of lows. And it was a really well-written article, and what I thought was interesting was just like, you know, just the attitude that she had about, you know, it's hard, especially on a woman, because, you know, you blame yourself. You wonder what's wrong. And it's like, nothing's wrong. This happens to people. There's nothing you can do to control that. For some people, you sneeze and you're pregnant. For other people, you're doing what we're doing.
Right.
So I'm not going to bore everyone with all the details, but long story short, we got the news that, hey, things are looking good. You got to get back to the collection room. But you know the beauty, the headache.
Have we downloaded movies that we now have saved on the phone?
No, But I'll get to that.
All right.
So now, in this situation, it was on the weekend when, you know, you get this 24-hour window where you got to drop off the goods.
All right.
The Tacoma office is closed.
But so, you can't just drop them off in any regular cup and bring it up there. You got to drop it off at the place.
No, usually I bring my Gatorade bottle and I just fill it up and say, here, squeeze it out, whatever you need. No, yeah, you got to go there. I mean, they say that if you have performance issues, anxiety issues, they'll give you a cup. You could go and do it at home, but you got to get back by a certain window of time. That
right.
just seems too nerve-wracking to be then driving with it sitting next to me. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I kind of like it.
Like, put a seatbelt around it?
Yeah.
The officer pulls me over, and in the carpool lane, I'm like, no. I got my kid right here.
I got thousands of children with me.
That would be the most disturbing and depressing thing I think an officer would have to deal with. Like, do you give this guy a ticket because he seems delusional? Okay, so stay under the speed limit.
Stay under the speed limit. You are OHOV, okay, though.
So we have to go to Seattle.
All right.
In order to do this. I have to be there at like 1:15 was our appointment on Saturday. Well, we're driving. I'm thinking, okay, we afford ourselves an hour, give it a little wiggle room. It's only take about 40 minutes to get there. I was like, that should work. Didn't put two and two together that it was Hempfest weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't put two and two together that typically when a large number of stoners are driving to a certain place where they take the same exit that we have to take to get to the fertility doctor, it's going to suck.
Oh, yeah. And that's a lot of people.
And a lot of stone people who are, when driving, think that going 30 miles per hour on the freeway is fast.
Yeah.
So I'm freaking out.
You're talking literally 30 or 40,000 people.
Right. And they're stoned.
Yeah.
And they're slow. And now they're getting off on the Mercer exit and don't know how to do that. So it was just a mess. Next thing you know, it's like 1:40. I'm late. And my wife's like, I don't know. Do you think they're going to still have us come in? I'm like, babe, if they're not, I'm going to take the cup. I'm going to go into the car and I'm going to crank it right there in public. I don't care.
Yeah. What time were you supposed to be there?
1:15.
All right.
So I'm about 30 minutes behind.
Yeah. I mean, so, they're still going to take the specimen.
But it feels like a reality show. Now, granted, it doesn't feel like Labor of Love. This is a whole different reality show. But it feels like, you know, Race Against the Clock.
Yeah.
Minus the L. Hurrying over there. We get in. They don't even blink an eye. They're like, okay, thanks for you go into that room. I'm like, cool. Because I'm thinking, oh, well, now I'm going to screw up. There's other guys probably waiting. They give you, it seems like there's 15-minute windows because there's like 1:15. I'm figuring, well, 1:30, someone else is getting in there. I don't know how this works.
Yeah.
I don't know, Ted.
You're just making a deposit. If you were having like a procedure.
But I got to make love to myself. It might take 15
Steve,
minutes.
You are not making love to yourself, sir. You are masturbating. All right. You've been married. Like somebody who's been as single as long as I have gets to say something sad like I made love to myself. God, you're so proper.
So I'm jerking it.
Right. Oh, hey, so I'm masturbating. Small room into a cup, huh?
It needed the money. So get there. She's like, okay, come back to this room. C-O-M-E, come back to this. open the door, the collection room. Not nearly as cool as the collection room in Tacoma, I got to say.
All right, all
right. A little bit smaller. Doesn't have the same that feng shui.
All right,
didn't feel as comfortable.
This is just a place to masturbate.
Right. But there is a big sign, Wi-Fi code, free Wi-Fi.
Oh,
I'm like,
game on.
Because at first I went on my phone and I'm like, I did not have enough time. I didn't do anything. I'm like, crap. So I'm instantly sign in. Like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Now usually it takes me a while to find the right video when I'm, you know, making love to myself at home. So this time I'm like taking the first video. I don't even care. First video. So I hit the first video. It's a brother-sister porn.
Oh.
I'm like, no, I can't do this.
God.
This is not working out. Now it's in my head, like, am I going to be able to accomplish this? Like, this is the closest. Like, everything was looking good. Test results were better than they've ever been. Like, if fingers crossed in a couple weeks, good news, right?
Well, they stopped making that porn.
Right.
Like, I know they're both actors, but just hearing them physically say, like, oh, it's my brother. Oh, it's my sister. It's just, like, gross.
At least make it stepbrother, stepsister. I would have powered through that no problem.
Yeah.
That would have been great.
Yeah.
But there was no step in the title. And they weren't referring to each other. I even let them talk for a second. Mom was in the kitchen. They were in the family room.
Oh, yeah. That's terrible.
It stunk. So I had to turn that one off. Next video. That one was fine. It wasn't anything like I was really into, but I was like, it's going to do the job. I don't care. I need to hurry this up. Pressure's on.
I was on Big Blue or Big Boo Blondes this morning. It's not a specific tag. I had to type that in, Steve.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
They didn't just offer that?
No.
Maybe I should have done. I didn't think it.
You never used the search bar?
No, I usually just find one. I go through the first three pages.
All right. 3 pages. That's fair.
Yeah, I'll just keep looking for a good thumbnail.
All right.
You learn a lot about what's out there that way.
Oh, yeah, you do.
It's a weird world out there. It's a wild, wild west of pornography.
It is.
So anyways, do what I got to do. The difference between the Seattle... The difference between the Seattle collection room and the Tacoma collection room is vast. Not just with the way it's all set up. They have two collection rooms that are basically, imagine in your house, there's a corner and there's a door for one room, the bedroom, and maybe like right next to that, pretty much sharing that same corner, is another door for the bathroom.
All right.
I open up that door. The other door opens up too.
Wait, did you see somebody else masturbating?
No.
Oh.
I saw another man come out, C-O-M-E.
As you were coming
out? As I was coming out. So now here's two dudes.
And you're like right next to each other holding sperm?
Thankfully, they do it differently than the Tacoma room as well. Because the Tacoma room, you put it in a brown paper bag, and you walk up to this person like a bag lunch and say, here's my stuff. Goodbye. This place has a little spinny opening door. So you open up the door, like this little box, and you open up the little box door, you put your thing in there, and then you spin it, and I guess it goes to the other side of the room, and then there's where their nurses are or whatever.
All right.
So you don't have to leave the room with it. But so I'm just like looking at this guy.
What do you say?
I say nothing. He says, oh man, love the show.
Oh! I mean,
do you shake his hand?
I don't know, because I mean, I'm sure
we didn't have the fingering things established at that point.
I'm sure you both washed your hands, but still, it's like,
no, I didn't. No, I'm kidding. I did.
But it's like, right, like you're both staring at each other in both minds. I just have to be thinking, like, I know he just masturbated with that hand.
Yes, I didn't shake his hand. He didn't shake mine. It was just a quick, like he was excited.
Yeah.
Well, more ways than one, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And then the conversation.
Excited to meet you.
Right. And then we both laughed. I was like, oh, man, right on. He goes, awkward, I know. I'm like, yeah. I hope everything goes good for you.
But in his defense, that interaction was going to be awkward.
Regardless.
Either way.
Right.
Right. Like, as soon as you open the door and he's right there and you both look at each other. I mean, it's just very rare that at any point you will emerge and be that close to another man that is just masturbating, and you have too. You know what I mean?
Right. It's probably happened lots of times. We just don't know it.
Right, because even I would think if you're in a dorm room or something, like you don't, but it's like, right, you two were in a room made for masturbating. There's no doubt.
You both just room.
You both just masturbated.
I was in A, he was in B. Yeah.
Did you see him? I wonder who went in first.
Ooh. I don't know. Well,
that's
I mean,
they should do. They should have times.
They should put like a clock on the outside. Oh my God.
As soon as you're done.
Too
like,
much pressure, Ted.
Stop.
Too much pressure.
Woo! I got that one out in 2 minutes.
That's a PR right there. For you CrossFitters. Oh, dude, it was great. But you know what the funny thing is? Man, this adventure has been very odd. I'm learning a lot of listeners are going through the same adventure because I've had... From doing no other one in Tacoma room, sometimes you have to sit and wait in the waiting room, which is the worst because you're just around a bunch of dudes and people, and you know you're basically waiting to masturbate.
Yeah,
right. It's the wait debate, or you're waiting for your doctor. But you know you're all there for the same reason, and it's sometimes even though it shouldn't be, it's not embarrassing, but there's a certain level of like you wish it could be more private.
Yeah.
So. There's been times, though, where people don't say anything to me, and I'll get a Facebook message or an email and say, hey, man, I know this is going to sound weird, but were you and your wife at the Seattle Reproductive Clinic or whatever it's called, SRM or whatever? I was like, yeah. He's like, I didn't want my wife and I were thinking it was you, but we both thought it would be weird to say hi. I'm like, I get why you think it's weird, but next time if you see me in there, say hi.
Yeah, I have to admit, though, if I saw you and your wife just sitting there, I don't know if that's the place I'd say hi.
I know, but like, I don't know how to respond.
It's just such a
private thing. I'm not
going to
respond and be like, yeah, man, don't say hi.
Like, I'm just, like, but anytime you have, I don't want to say difficulty, but anytime, it is difficulty.
It is.
In trying to,
it's a roller coaster,
to,
man.
To get it, to conceive a child and stuff, like, that's such an intense private thing for each couple that it's like, yeah, even I think that might be one place where I'm like, I don't know if I want to say hi. Like, he's sitting with his wife.
Like, I mean, say hi at dinner. Don't say hi by
the
collection.
Like dinner, bar, or wherever else is fine. And I'll credit the guy. I mean, when you made eye contact, I would have done the same. They just freaked out and be like, oh, man.
Right.
I don't know what to say.
Right.
But I also agree with the other guy. Just staring,
mega hug?
Staring at you in the waiting room. I'd be like, this isn't the time to talk to Steve.
Yeah. So anyways, I've had that happen a few times. It was pretty funny, though. I was like, oh, my gosh, of all places. And it was just like, dude, the pregnant pause. It was like a Mexican standoff or whatever they are. And you're just looking at each other and it's just, we both feel the absurd awkwardness of it on. And love the show, man.
Love the show.
I should have been like, what? You had a window and you saw what I just did?
That would have been quick thinking, Steve.
I wasn't thinking quick.
No.
I was pretty tired at that moment.
Yeah.
I needed a nap. Like I typically need when I make love to myself, Ted. All right, Bob, before we get out of here, let's talk a little bit about the Belt Block Party where you and I got to take over and have some fun, check out some professional wrestling.
Wow. I went down there with you. You did more of the taking over. I was just kind of sitting there hanging out in the beer gardens.
Got to check out Ted's new apartment.
Yeah.
Love it. Really dig it.
Thank you. And the block party was cool because Steve's hosting the Defy Wrestling.
Yep.
But, I mean, they had beer gardens set up. There was two big beer gardens where you could watch all the action.
It was crazy. There were beer gardens outside of all the bars.
Yeah.
And we're just having guys wrestle in the middle of the street on 2nd and Blanchard in Belltown.
Yeah, we were right. We were right on 2nd Avenue between, what, like Blanchard and Virginia?
Yes.
Yeah, and it was just,
yep.
Mm-hmm. It was just crazy. Like, I thought they'd have it on Blanchard or like one of the side streets. I was kind of amazed that it was in the middle of 2nd Avenue. And then shout out to my buddies over at Cursed Oak, man. They had a beer garden.
Dude, what a great bar.
Yeah. So I was sitting there.
Never even knew that place existed. If you're in Belltown, go check that place out.
Yeah, it's Catty Corner from the Crocodile.
Yep.
I think he's only had that place running for like a year. That's a cool really, bar, man. I like it.
Real good vibe. Everyone seemed nice. Security guard wasn't a dick to us.
No.
You never know.
Yeah.
In those situations. That's the gold standard right there. Yeah. When a security guard can actually be nice when they take your ID and not be a dick to you.
Yeah. No, Saturday night was cool. And I didn't even really realize that was going on. So I saw you were doing it. So I had been kind of chilling all day.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, let's go watch the wrestling in the street.
That was the best part because Ted's like, hey. So then, yeah, after, you know, going to the collection room, I had to go back to Puyallup, drop off Sid, chill for a minute, get dressed, get ready and all that stuff. And I come back and I'm like, Ted's like, hey, how was your day? I'm like, oh, I did this, I did this, I cranked it, did this, did that, blah, blah, blah. You know, made sweet love to my wife, all this. Like,
yeah.
Like, it was a action-packed day. And then I'm like, Ted, what'd you do? He goes, well, I kind of just woke up.
Yeah, like, I got up earlier in the day to watch an Arsenal match, and then in the afternoon, I took a nap and literally had just gotten up, showered, like, all right, now I'm ready for the day.
We were in completely different wavelengths, but then once we got together, it was a great time. It's cool.
Dinner at Cushy.
Oh, I love that place.
Yeah.
We got to talk before we get out of here. I know we definitely have to share a story about the cop that we
all
saw.
All right.
But you also have to share the story because we played that song, Burning Man, during our commercial break. You have a great Burning Man story.
Right. So we're sitting, well, you could put two and two together. You know what restaurant we're sitting in. And there's these people next to us, and they're very attractive. They're like the pretty people, right?
Very pretty.
Yeah.
Including the guy,
right?
He was very handsome.
Right. So
like chiseled.
Are like hot.
Oh my gosh, yeah. The one had the sexiest back.
Right. So I hear him talking about Burning Man. Actually, it's funny. The girl
went back to the collection room.
Yeah, the girl at the back. I thought I knew her for a minute because she was so tall.
Uh-huh.
And they were talking about Burning Man.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a friend. She is ridiculously tall, like 5'11", and is a model and stuff. She goes all the time.
Okay.
So initially, I kept looking over. I was like, man, is that Adrian? Then I was like, no. So then finally, they stopped, and I just said, hey, are you guys going to Burning Man? And the one girl's like, yeah. Or the dude's like, she is. Have you been? And I go, yeah. And she like looks up from her phone like, great, I have a question for you. And I'm like, what's up? She's like, will there be a place to get water so I could fill up my kiddie pool so I could swim in it? And I mean, I think I just kind of paused and then was like, no. Like, there's trucks that go around that put water on the dust to keep it from piling, you know, getting too dusty. But I go, it's not potable water. You shouldn't be swimming in it. People that you see getting in it, like every year at Burning Man, they're like, this is just for the dust. Don't use this water.
Right. Because for those that don't know, Burning Man is a giant sandstorm.
Yeah, it's in the goddamn desert.
Right.
Like, there's no kidding around. And then she goes, well, every other festival I go to, I can fill up my kiddie pool. And I was just like, yeah, all right.
And this isn't Paradiso.
Right, I know. So then I just kind of looked at
this isn't Watershed.
And I go, I'm worried about this girl.
Yeah, like, you were legit worried.
Like, I don't think she really knows what she's getting into when she's going down there.
You kept saying, no, look, there's water. Your kiddie pool could be filled, but within seconds, it's going to be a mud pit.
Yeah, and just like, right, there's no like hoses to go like, you can't just go like fill up a bucket of water.
Right, you're going to have to just like probably like hijack a bunch of people's water bottles and slowly fill it up.
Yeah.
And it's going to be dirty and nasty within seconds.
Horrible. Like some people will have a bucket that they've cut in half for like feet scrubbing just because it's a simple pleasure that feels really nice scrubbing your feet.
Yeah.
But still, the water is filthy.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to just be sitting in that. Yeah.
Mud bath.
I'm sure she'll have a good time, but legit, I was like, man, she does not know what she's getting into. She's like, well, we're taking an RV. And I was like, you tape up the windows, right? What kind of tape? Why should we tape up the windows? And remember, I was like, the dust gets into everything.
Yeah.
It's like baby powder. Like, I don't want to scare you, but Jesus Christ, focus.
And like, then they walked away. Ted just looks at me and goes, she's not going to survive out there.
Right. I mean, she's super hot. I'm sure she can find friends.
She's very pretty. She's going to have no problem finding people that are going to be like, hey, come on over.
And that's why I was like, are you staying in a giant theme camp? Maybe they can help you out with that. But I'm just like, I don't know, man. I guess for me, too, like when I went, man, I was so obsessed with not dying.
You were overly prepared.
Right. Like I did so much research. Yeah. And I'm just like, man, some people just don't do the research. They're just going to go down there.
With a kiddie pool.
With a kiddie pool.
And water wings.
And water. I just hope she brings enough water to drink.
And so after that, we enjoyed all the wrestling. It was a great time. Lots of fun stuff.
And then the freak show.
The freak show was insane.
Yeah.
Ted found his new lust woman.
Yeah.
White Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, man. She had a great booty for a white woman.
She did. It was her. It was a crazy setup. There was a woman with a beard.
Correct.
Who could sing
opera.
Opera while dancing on broken pieces of glass.
Correct. There was another guy that put cinder blocks next to his testicles, and then they'd smash the cinder blocks.
Different kind of a collection room.
Yeah, I think there was some jewelry going from like the nose out the mouth.
It was very weird.
There was some different stuff. I think they might be down at Red Festival now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Get to see him again. And then they did the, what the hell was those things? The iron bars.
Oh, what are those called? Yeah. Rebar?
Rebars. Yeah. So they had like five rebars. Because there's five of them, and I think there was five of them. I don't remember exactly, but there was multiple ones, and they all put them on their necks, and they were like one across from another, so one across another,
like
one across
star. Another.
And they all walked in and bent the rebar with their necks.
Yeah.
It was freaking weird, man.
That was insane.
Yeah.
I mean, it was cool to watch.
It was great.
I don't know how they do it.
And then after that, we leave, and we hit up, people are calling me. It's too much to deal with, bro. We leave, and in the parking lot that we're in, there's a police officer.
Correct. So there's a cop across the way, and he's just sitting there, and then he turns on his lights. He's going to leave, and I start laughing. I go, it's kind of funny. He's got a headlight out. Maybe we should pull him over. And then not only that, we realize now that he is pulling out of a handicap spot.
Yep.
And it's just like, man, Hempfest is going on. This Belltown block party's going on. Besides that, it's just Saturday night at like 9 or something at Belltown. Like, I am imagining somebody could have used that handicap spot.
It was very weird, man. It was like this cop was just like, come on, come at me, bro. I'm going to break the rules. And like, could you imagine if we pulled out at the same time out of a handicap spot with a headlight out?
Yeah.
The lights would have been on.
We would have got pulled over.
We should have delivered a citizen's arrest.
That'll be, sir, I'm going to need you to stop.
License and registration.
Right.
License and registration. Keep your hands on the wheel.
Right. If you keep talking, I'm going to ding you for both.
Mm-hmm.
Now, right now, we're only looking at a headlight. You want me to tack on that handicap spot charge?
We can make this easy and pleasurable or very difficult.
Yeah. But at that point, we're both being bad cop. I'll be good cop.
All right.
Hey, listen, son, I want to see you go home tonight. So why don't you just admit to what you did? Tell us what you did wrong. You could be over there freaking out.
And I'd be like, I noticed there's two headlights out. No, there's just one.
Bash!
Two. I see two. All of a sudden, we're on the plot of Walking Tall.
All of a sudden, right, the citizen's arrest has gone completely awry.
Citizen's arrest brutality.
Right? Like, you can't plant evidence on anybody. You're a citizen, especially not on a cop. You kicked out his second light.
He's got a vape pen in his pocket. Is that marijuana, son?
Throw an empty Miller Lite can. I think he was drinking, too.
He looks drunk.
Trust me, I was in the beer garden for 2 hours watching Steve. I saw how this unfolded.
All right, we're going to get out of here. Right. Real quick before we get out of here, I just want to give a quick plug for Mixfest, the second annual.
Nice.
Mixfest 2 is happening October 14th at Studio 7. Windowpane's going to be playing. My new band, Bruiser Brody, which features Glenn from Windowpane, Jeff from Duff McKagan's Loaded,
right.
Also JT from Clover Jane. We're going into the studio to record. It's going to be a lot of fun. Van Epps are going to be there. Those guys are badass.
Oh, yeah.
And also Wyatt Only in the Wreckage, big CD
nice.
Release show
like
for them.
Wyatt.
And a band that I know you love just as much as me, The Last International.
Oh, they are playing.
They are playing Mixfest.
Awesome.
It's going to be a great night. Studio 7. Go to studio7.us to get tickets. Either the link wasn't working. Like it linked you to the show, but when you clicked on buy tickets, the show wasn't there to buy. Hopefully by the time you hear this podcast, it is. But we'd love to see you out there. It's going to be a great party, and I'm looking very forward to it. And it's sounding like I'm going to be jumping up on stage for all of the band sets and
nice.
Playing a song with them. I don't know about The Last International. Maybe we could twist their arm and have them do it too, but who knows. But anyways, hopefully people could come out, buy your tickets again, studio7.us, and just keep tabs on all those bands' Facebook pages, like Wyatt Only and The Wreckage, Van Epps, and Windowpane, because they will be selling tickets as well, and you could avoid service charges by buying them through the bands.
And you could see some of those bands down at Red Festival, I believe.
That's right, September 9th.
September 9th.
Yep. Well, JT's going to be doing double duty with Outshined and Jar of Flies, the Alice in Chains and Soundgarden tribute band. And then, of course, Windowpane's going to be playing Red Festival as well.
Yeah.
I'll be there, too, because you'll be there,
New
obviously.
Originals.
New Originals will be playing that as well. So lots of ways to rock out and have fun with great local music, one per month.
Yeah, man.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, get them in.
All right, let's get our push-ups in.
All right.
Thanks again for listening, as always. Brand new Foo Fighters. Song is called Sky is a Neighborhood.
Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters. All right, are we going to get 10?
Let's get it.
All right, here we go.
Sky is
One,
a neighborhood.
2, 3, 4,
so keep
5,
down.
6, 7,
heart is a
8,
below.
9, you can follow us on Twitter at the Megacast. Are we going to do it? Mega Finger?
ETX.
We should take a picture of us doing that.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Let me get the selfie mode. It's a good thing we got music going on. All right, all right, just do this. Nice. That's going to be the name of the episode. No, Mega Finger.
Mega Finger. Get him up, folks. Let me see that Mega Finger.
And the blur will be like, what is a Mega Finger and what does it do?